Welcome to the TV Kids Festival. I'm Jamie Stalkup, Associate Editor of TV Kids. And in today's session, we're going to be discussing the keys to incorporating core curricula into kids' content. I'm joined by Bajuba Entertainment's Tatiana Kober,
Hello.
ZDF Studios' Oliver Grundell,
Hi.
and Sesame Workshop's Susan Shiner.
Hi.
Hello, everyone.
Good morning.
Hey.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And to start things off, what is driving the demand for shows that have STEM or STEAM components at their core?
As the world becomes more technologically advanced, there's a growing need for children to develop skills in science, technology, engineering and math from an early age. So TV shows can be a complementary tool to formal education and encourage curiosity and positive attitudes towards STEM and STEAM subjects at a very early age.
Yeah, I would totally agree. I think the demand for shows with STEM components is driven by a growing recognition of the importance of these skills in the modern world. So fields like science, technology, engineering, math, and also arts are quite important because they are connected to the fastest growing industries in the economy. And so they play a pivotal role in the advancement of society. And of course, parents and educators alike understand that fostering an early interest in these areas can contribute to a child's academic success and to better future career opportunities. So, yeah, and in addition to that, as technology becomes more integrated into everyday life, I think there is a desire for content that aligns with educational goals while remaining engaging for young audiences.
That's right. Yeah, I think that also, the broadcasters do want to have some kind of balance within their slate, and to have that kind of programming that is still fun and interesting to watch just broadens the minds of the kids and can be a real hit for the broadcasters too as they move forward. So for the kids and the broadcasters, it's good.
Public broadcasters often have a mandate to provide educational programming, so they're usually associated with this type of show. But have you seen this expand with the proliferation of on-demand platforms?
I would say not really. I started in factual before I moved into children's, and it's one of my deep loves. And I'm often pushing shows with STEAM or some kind of factual element, and it's a tough slog. Like a lot of the broadcasters will do things locally, or there'll be a great initiative coming forward and moving forward. But I find it's difficult that they really do have limited spaces for this kind of programming, which I think is sad. And you don't really get the push to get more of that kind of programming out. I don't know if you find the same.
Yeah, okay. Maybe I can also jump in because coming from the public broadcaster side, I think it's quite interesting to hear that. I would say I think VOD platforms are interested in having more educational content on their platform, and it has expanded opportunities for educational programming in many ways. So on-demand platforms allow for more tailored content experience, enabling public broadcasters to reach a wider and more diverse audience. So in fact, so from my perspective, ZDF and Kika were able to ramp up their on-demand offerings, whether through the broadcaster's own offerings or also on third-party platforms like we have channels on YouTube and Facebook and TikTok. And also collaborating with tech providers like Apple and Samsung TV. I think there are a lot of opportunities. And this shift has allowed for a greater flexibility in the delivery of educational content, and which can be tailored to specific age groups and interests. And also, in addition, it also opened up new avenues for educational content creators. And they can experiment with innovative formats, interactive elements, and engaging storytelling. So in conclusion, yes, I would say that this expanded reach and flexibility for VOD offerings contribute to a more dynamic and accessible landscape for educational programming.
And I guess coming from the production and the programming side, in terms of creating the content, as the media landscape
evolves and there's this increased, demand for content, we kind of have to step up our game, and, be entertaining and educational and really try to contribute and compete with all that content that's out there. So, for us, we definitely feel like it's just increased our ability to, sort of like do more content, be more educational, be more entertaining, and get our stuff out there wherever we can.
That's right. Yeah, I think that definitely weaving in the entertainment aspect is a huge part of it,
Yeah.
so that the kids don't smell school, but yeah, there's definitely STEAM has definitely had an uptick, I think, but I also think it's still a difficult a difficult push sometimes for the more mainstream broadcasters, if from a sales, sitting from the sales side, right? So
Now, obviously, kids of all ages are watching TV. How does incorporating educational components change with different age demographics? How do you go about weaving in STEM and STEAM education for preschool programs versus shows for the 7 and up group?
I think younger children are more open to receiving educational concepts. So while older kids are often shift their focus towards entertainment and storytelling, so educational components need to be age appropriate and aligned with the development stage of the target audience. And maybe to bring in some examples from our side, so starting for preschool programs, I think there's a focus on foundational concepts through simple narratives and interactive elements. So Kika has a very popular show, Kikaninchen, and this is tailored for the development of and needs for youngest newcomers to media. And there the focus is very on basic things like alphabet learning and counting and basic numerical concepts. And as the age group increases, content can delve deeper into specific STEM or STEAM subjects. So, introducing more complex ideas and hands-on activities that align with the cognitive abilities of of older children. So, I have one example with me. It's a Space Nova, which is a captivating animated series for children 6 to 9. And this show seamlessly integrates educational elements by introducing young audiences to some really interesting concepts, such as space exploration or something. And even for our fiction programs, which have a target group of 9+, we have an educational aspect at their core, and but there we give more guidance in the emotional and personal development, ensuring that there's a valuable takeaway for everyone.
I completely agree. We too try to meet the child where they are developmentally, and we design our goals and our objectives to ensure that the content is age appropriate. So, for instance, in our show Mecha Builders, which is a STEAM and STEM show, we try to follow just simple guidelines, which we would follow for any of our shows, no matter what the age or content is, which is simple language, clear visuals, and this rule to sort of see it and say it. So when you see the content, you want to also hear it. So to give you an example from Mecha Builders, we did a show on ramps called Roll Chicken Roll, where it was like the first annual Roll Chicken Roll contest where the chickens were going to be racing through Sunnyfield Farm, and they get to the starting line and Farmer McBarn says go, and none of the cars move, and they realize there's no motors. So now they have to figure out a way to get these cars to move without no motors. So the Mecha Builders swoop in and they see there's a problem and they start to build ramps. And the first ramp is too low and the cars don't go far enough. The second ramp is too high and the cars fly all over the place. The third ramp is just right. And we end it with we always end our shows with like a very repeatable moment where the kid can hear the curriculum. So we did it. We solved the problem. We built a ramp so that the chickens could race their cars. So that's an example of how we did it for 3-year-olds. If we were going to scale that up, and do a STEM show on ramps for 7-year-olds, we would just change our language maybe. And instead of calling it a ramp, maybe we'd call it an inclined plane. We would talk about the role of gravity, where we may not introduce that term for 3-year-olds, we would certainly introduce it for 7-year-olds. And we might use math to measure the length and the angles and of the different ramps for the 7-year-olds, but for the 3-year-olds, we're just going to show it visually without really getting into the details of the math. So that's sort of a concrete example of how we would like scale it up or down, keeping the same curriculum.
I definitely think that in preschool, there's so many shows that incorporate the STEM parts within it. But and the 5 to 7 age group is an area where I think you can have a lot of fun in this area because the kids are still really curious. They're looking at the shows coming out of preschool, so they're used to getting a little bit of education, and you can have a lot of fun with it, by throwing in little facts because we know 7-year-olds, they love to say, "Did you know that a whale is as big as three double-decker buses?" So if you can throw fun facts within the programming, you can learn so much. And then those are the repeatable moments that you have off screen that are really important to hammer in the things, and that the kids can maybe, your goal is that in the playground, the kids will say, "Hey, I watched this show yesterday and it's so great. Did you know that?" And that's what I think is a huge aspect, in the 7-year-old range. Going higher, it is like was said earlier by Oliver, that it is the kids are already gravitating to older programming, so it gets a little bit more tricky, but you can still find ways to do it, and having the right consultants on board makes all the difference, and also the social part of it, because that's what they're leaning into more.
And how can educational themes be woven in a way that's not too overt? Or is that even a problem?
It's not a problem. I think we start our shows with the educational content. It's an authentic part of the storyline and the content. And it kind of happens organically. So we don't layer it on top of the plot and the story. We really bake it in at the foundation. And that way it feels like natural, and it doesn't feel that we're just kind of throwing words and concepts at the kids. We really make it an integrated part of the story. And also, it really helps that the children know and love the characters, and they watch because it's fun, and they watch because they know, like, for instance, in our show Mega Builders, Cookie Monster's Cookie Monster. I mean, in Mega Builders, he has a handy hammer hand, which helps to teach about tools, but he still loves cookies. So you want to make the education fun, but baked into who the characters and what the storylines are.
I think it's about finding the delicate balance between education and entertainment. That's key, I would say. So with a show for a very very young audience like Kikaninchen, which I mentioned, I think you can be quite straightforward and as explicit. So it's okay to be slightly more on the educational side with some foundational concepts and with interactive elements. And as the viewers grow older, it becomes increasingly important to balance that and weave educational elements more into the storytelling. So for Space Nova, it's part of the engaging storyline about space exploration or alien technology or something like this. And for the older target group, like preteens, I think it's pretty much essential to maintain a level of good entertainment that captures and retains the attention of the viewers. So there, the educational themes are embedded with engaging storylines or role models or something like this. And then I think that can make learning feel seamless and enjoyable.
Yes, to all of those. I don't really have much more to add. Those were all perfect. So.
How important is it to include experts such as educational consultants, child psychologists, et cetera, in the process of making an educational series?
It's imperative. I mean, you have to have that stamp of authenticity in there. You need it. You need to have the child consultants that are aware of what the kids can handle at that age and how much information you can give them, and also how to weave it in so that it is, it's part of the entire framework of the series. So there's nothing that would go through without having a consultant or scientists or engineers or people in the field that really know what we're talking about, so that the information can come out in the best way, and that you can have those tidbits of information too, like I said earlier, about facts that are repeatable in the playground, you know. So I think that makes it so much better, and expands the mind of the creators and the writers as you're coming up with this series. It's amazing how the consultants will come up with a point, and that completely can pivot your story. So really important.
Yeah, I totally agree. So for certain shows, it is very, very important. So I have one example. The show is called Yona Lu, which is highly popular and innovative preschool show by ZDF. And this show aims to promote the language skills and motor skills of preschool children. And in these cases, involving additional experts can be very useful for specific questions and background knowledge. And the ZDF worked together with experts from the German Youth Institute. And in addition to that, ZDF found a good partner in the network for early childhood education. And yeah, these professionals provided advisory support for the conceptual development. And I think they brought in extra insight and knowledge that can enhance the quality and impact of educational content significantly. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I completely agree with both of you. All of our shows at the workshop start with educational consultants. So we have a department here of education research, and we are not experts in it. We are all de developmental psychologists or educators, but none of us are experts in any of these content areas. But we can find whoever is. And we look for the people in universities, mostly academics, people that are scientists that can really help us design our curriculum so it meets the educational standards and curriculum guidelines, within the country and sometimes globally, depending upon what the project is. So we have had for the STEM show Mecha Builders, we have had a professor from URI, University of Rhode Island, Dr. Sweetman, and she reads and reviews all of our scripts and looks at our animatics and looks at the final version to make sure that everything is buttoned up tight and that the curriculum is accurate and fun.
What kind of supplemental materials can be provided to help continue the learning process outside of the show? And how important are these ancillary materials?
I think they're huge. You want to know a little bit more, and this is where we're in a great age. The kids can go on to the website of the broadcaster to find out more, the website for the show. If they're older, they can go on to social media platforms. But I think that gives you such a great range, and our ability to have click-throughs to get more information makes it so exciting. And I'd love to see go to the website more often in the credits, you know, go, you want to hear more? Come here, look here, to find out more. Go to your local museum. I think we're really, the kids are really lucky these days, where you can watch a show, go to the website, play some games. You've got interviews that you can have. There's so much you can do to really build a 360 platform, with books as well, magazines, graphic novels, games. It's really a golden age. Toys, of course, too. So, if you really build it properly, you can. It's a fantastic tool for the kids.
Yeah, I totally agree. And also from the website, sometimes you can just click and download activity sheets, which is really nice because it can reinforce the individual messages, whatever the show is teaching. For the very young, they can be coloring sheets, things that are very simple, but that all children can participate in. And just to echo what you said, books, apps, games. We have a partnership with Roblox, so we have Mecha Builders on Roblox. So wherever you can, have support materials that reinforce the learning and make it fun is great. Just adds to the educational boost.
Yeah, and maybe some examples from our side. So I totally agree. I think there could be all kinds of things that accompany, deepen, and continue the show. So looking on the shows I mentioned, so for Kikaninchen, there's a holistic educational ecosystem. So from TV broadcasting, interactive website, user-friendly app, captivating storytelling products like books and audio plays. And for an older target group, like for Space Nova, there is a very comprehensive teaching toolkit with a range of classroom activity designed for students in the classes 3 to 6. And maybe a somewhat more extensive example, which I really like. So there's one of our shows, it's from Kika. It's the format TRIF, which means meet, where audiences engage with historical figures on a very deeply and personal level. And there's one episode, which is just recently nominated for the International Emmy Awards. It's TRIF Anne Frank. And the episode delves into Anne Frank's life during the Nazi era. And yeah, therefore, to enrich the educational experience, the show incorporates animated knowledge clips, excerpts from the Anne Frank's diary, of course, and interviews with Anne's close friends. And there was one of it, which it's a very good close friend, Jacqueline von Mersen, who is now a 94 years old lady, and she shares some really direct and personal experience, which are very intense. And so the program is not only presents Anne Frank as a passionate writer, but also as a complex teenager. So I think beyond great entertainment, the materials are crafted as really powerful teaching tools, which can enrich some additional perspectives from experts, and making them not just informative, but really impactful for some classroom use.
Well, like we've heard, having educational shows helps promote academic success for kids, and it shows them that learning can be fun, which encourages them to go through life and embrace their curiosity and share what they've learned, which really equips them for older ages into adulthood. So, thank you all for being so dedicated to providing these shows and for sharing your insights today.
Thank you. Thanks for
Thank you for
having
having us.
me. Thank you. Bye-bye.